You are listening to the Critical Mass Radio Show, Orange County's business talk show, focused on exploring topics of interest to CEOs who are leading middle market companies, with your host, Richard Franzi.
Hello and welcome to Orange County's longest running business talk show. And yes, I am your host, Rick Franzi. And ooh, do we have a good show planned for you today? Why do you ask? Because Andrew Hartman, who is the founder of Time Boss, is our guest. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Rick. Glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
So let's get right into it. I love it when I have a founder on the show. We have them very frequently. And I'd like to start with, you know, take us back in time and help us understand the original inspiration or motivation for you to launch Time Boss.
Yeah, absolutely. So I did not set out to launch a thing called Time Boss. I set out to solve my own problems related to time. I was a project manager of an internet marketing technology agency with 12 clients and utterly overwhelmed by the sheer amount of things that were coming at me. Constantly felt like I was behind, stressed all day long at work, trying to keep up with client needs, struggled to sleep at night from stress, fear, and anxiety. You know, waking up, writing on post-it notes next to my bed, wake up the next morning, I look at those post-it notes and they're just utter chicken scratch. You know, I was just, you know, I was that classic guy. Right. So I didn't set out to found or launch a thing called Time Boss. I just was trying to solve my own problem related to time. And that's really what led me on this journey. It's been a 15-year process. Can happy to share more about that. But really, once I solved it, lots of people started leaning in. My team started leaning in to say, what are you doing related to time here? And realized that I had at least cracked the code in a way that helped quite a few people, which led me to launching Time Boss.
So I'm wondering, since you did formalize it, launch it, have you had any pivots to the business model to kind of explain that process to us?
Yeah, absolutely. So I founded Time Boss as a coaching group on LinkedIn, just put it on LinkedIn as an offer, asked if five people wanted to jump in and do Time Boss for a month. Really, my whole intent was, how can I get people to get over the hump on their habits related to time? I was giving a lot of people a lot of free advice and tips, and they do it for a little bit, and then they give up from the friction. And so a coaching group was the main way that I launched, and people saw great results. And really intuitively, I thought, there must be a digital version of this. I must be able to help someone self-implement these strategies. So we launched a digital version. And candidly, it didn't go that well. A lot of people tried it, but not a lot of people were successful with it. And what I found was there's actually something really powerful about that coaching group where the accountability of the people around you keeps you connected to that work. And so I've really pivoted back to double down on the cohorts. And now we've expanded to working with full teams. So formerly it was individuals, founders, executives, directors coming in from a variety of companies to join a cohort. And now we do that with teams as well. So individuals that are on the same team, common leader, help them develop a whole new relationship with time, common knowledge, common language, that type of thing.
Interesting. You've come full circle.
Yes, with quite a bit of conviction, believe it or not. I have very high expectations when it comes to how people change their relationship with time.
So let's talk about that. You know, I want you to better or deeper, maybe more deeply explain Time Boss. You know, what problems are you solving? Who are you helping? And why are people choosing to work with you? But in that, if you could also, from your perspective, why is it so darn hard for people to get control of their time?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, starting on that idea, Rick, I think it's, we've really lived into our habits truly for decades related to time. And if we did not have a parent that was really good at it or a boss that was really good at it, we likely are just doing the best we can with what we have. And the primary way that time management runs is typically about anxiety resolution or eliminating anxiousness. We just put out fires all day long. And we literally build time management strategies around putting out fires. And putting out fires is actually very reasonable. We should put out fires. If our house is on fire, we should put the fire out. But the reality is our entire world doesn't have to run that way. But if that's all we've been ever taught to do, we will literally wait for things to catch on fire before we start working on them. We don't plan ahead. We don't think about our future self and what they might need. And so we don't create a great plan for them to be successful. We just are putting out fire after putting out fire after putting out fire. And it's a learned behavior. And you just have to learn a different set of habits. That's really the challenge of changing our relationship with time, is it's habit change. And habit change just takes a lot of work.
So what is the value proposition of Time Boss? What is different by employing your system?
I mean, the big thing for me is you can get more done with less stress and anxiety. And people don't think that's possible. They think that stress, fear, and anxiety is the tax on the results they're getting. It's just the way it's going to be. And you can actually make more happen. You can have greater impact, and you can decrease your stress, fear, and anxiety, and you can trade it for peace and freedom and clarity. You just have to be shown how to do that. So that's the primary value proposition. We've offered that primarily to founders, executives, key leaders of organizations, and now we're helping full teams adopt that model and really synchronize together and make that happen.
So you said it's been 15 years in the making, and I'm sure you have looked at every system that you could find. What was missing, or what is the secret sauce that makes your solution different?
You know, such a great question, Rick. Here's what it comes down to. If you scroll LinkedIn right now, you're going to get a million time management ideas. Just focus on three things, calendar block, your block your time, Pomodoro method, like you'll hear a million things. And the reality is they're all hacks. They're all half solutions. And I'll be the first to tell you, like in Time Boss, one of the primary activities we're teaching is calendar blocking, but it's part of a whole operating system. You can't just install one strategy and hope to make it happen. You can't just, you know, a lot of us came out of a college with a to-do list and a calendar, and we thought we were ready to go on time management. The reality is you need a holistic operating system that accounts for the reality of your week, accounts for all the requests and things that are crashing into your world, has a place to put those things so you can show up and focus on just one thing at a time. So it's really about that cohesive time operating system.
So help me to understand as well, is the secret to be focused and to do one thing at a time, or is the secret to be multitask capable and to have a bunch of plates that you're in control of?
Multitasking is the biggest lie our culture has shipped us. It really is. The key in my mind is being fully present to just one thing at a time. You think about right now, you and I, Rick, our whole job right now is to have a really great conversation. It's just to be present with each other. If I pulled out my phone and I started looking at it, or I started typing an email, or in the back of my head, I'm starting to solve a project, I'm not going to be fully present to you, and we're not going to have the best conversation we can. And I think that's possible in anything that ends up on our list, any strategic priority you have. We want to do one thing at a time, be fully present to it. Multitasking literally sucks our brain's daily battery that we have. It drains us. And so by the end of the day, we feel like we're just crashing into the evening. And this is why people end up vegging out on Netflix or Instagram or whatever way they choose to check out, is they're just so tired of being in their own head. They need to check out for a little bit. And so I think multitasking has really done us a disservice. And there's ways around it. You just have to be shown another way. Most people are multitasking because they are afraid if they don't multitask, they're going to miss something important. And that's not untrue, but you just have to have a system that can accommodate for that. That's really the critical point.
You know, you would like to believe that technical innovation has made this area of our life more easy to control. But on the surface, I could argue that emails dinging, text messages coming in, your phone in your pocket or your coat or on the table, it's made it harder to be focused.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have this lie, Rick, that constant availability is the way. You know, and so all of these tools make us more available, you know, more real-time notifications, more ways to reach out to us. And the reality is it's only increased our stress level. You know, the government thought back in the 60s that by the 80s, we'd only work 22 hours a week, which is so silly, right? And so we have these efficiency tools that truly have cut out quite a bit of work. I mean, think about AI right now. AI is cutting out so much of our day. Are people working less? No. If anything, they're probably working more. And so it's really about having a thoughtful relationship with this technology. How can it serve you? Help you accomplish your priorities and stay focused and make things happen? It's absolutely possible. You just have to be shown how.
So in the work that you're doing with teams and individuals and leaders, I'm wondering, are you seeing any difference in age cohorts relative to their relationship to time? Does millennials or Gen Zs or the X or boomers, anything there that's substantive that would be worth talking about?
Yeah, you know, it's primarily serving people that I would say are middle-aged. And I think the primary reason for that is they've been a blue flame for a long, they've burnt bright for a long time, and they are realizing that this strategy is not going to hold up for the long haul. Typically, you know, whether it's a team or they have some compelling event that's pressing upon them that's new, that has really just pushed them over the edge. So, you know, people in their 30s, it might be they just had a child and they're trying to balance having kids and having a career. People mid-career may have just brought on a funding round, and now they have the intense pressure of showing growth results with the same resources they've had previously. Sometimes it's a reorg. You have new leadership coming in that has new expectations. There's some type of compelling event where they realize whatever has got me here is not going to help me keep going, and it's not sustainable. I will burn out, or sometimes even worse than burnout, I'm going to become the kind of person I don't even want to be. I'm not going to be present to my family. I'm not going to be present to my kids. I'm not going to be available in my community. I'm not going to be connected to my network because I'm just grinding to try to stay ahead of all these tasks that are coming at me. And I think whether you fear burnout or you fear becoming a person you don't want to be, you just got to make a change. The habits you've had previously bring you forward.
So I lead a community here in Orange County of entrepreneurs and business owners and executives. And one of the exercises years ago we had them do was get out of their brain every commitment obligation that they have. And the tool that we used was 3x5 index cards. And yep. I still remember that workshop. The impact it gave to me was I have two women in my community who are single mothers, and everybody had a big list. But for some reason, those two individuals had such a significantly larger stack because of it wasn't just business, it was personal. And frankly, they were managing most of all the personal responsibilities as a single parent. So I can imagine the stress that you must find in Time Boss with people who are maybe similar and have that.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And the reality is we have a fairly emotional relationship with our capacity, right? We don't really know what we're capable of. So we just kind of load up these large to-do lists. Sometimes, you know, people do the work and write them down, but oftentimes they just float in our head and we just end up overwhelmed. There's just too many of them and the pressures are too great. And whether, you know, you're a single mom or executive or a founder or whoever, we all have these things that we care about, these venues that we want to contribute to. And we just feel precluded from doing it because we feel overwhelmed or there's too many things to focus on or whatever. And so one of the first steps with Time Boss Habits, just like what you said, Rick, is getting everything out of your head into a single list.
Good. Okay.
Well, because the reality is like you can't, unless you can see it all in one place, you can't actually prioritize it because all of those things are going to compete for your time. If you've said, I'm going to work from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, at 8 a.m. tomorrow, everything that's on your list is competing for that hour of time. And so my strong encouragement to people is get it to a list. Do the hard work of prioritizing what's actually important, what's actually matters. Start mapping that to your calendar, and what you're doing then true in the boss of your future self. That's the whole idea of Time Boss. You are setting your future self up to be successful, because right now in this moment, when I look at that list, I'm doing all the work. I'm feeling all the feels. I'm dealing with the trade-offs so that tomorrow morning, Andrew doesn't have to think about that. Andrew can just make his next task happen. And that is truly a gift that we give to our future self when we act as the time boss for our future self.
Exciting. I'm wondering about you as an entrepreneur and a founder. Any moments of time where you felt alone or isolated in the scaling of your business?
Oh, man. Absolutely. You know, it's when you're building something new, I'm solving problems in a different way. The world right now is all about hustle. You know, it's talking, you know, people are about, I just got to get past the season. I just got to make this happen. The LinkedIn messaging, like the memes of time, are not what I'm sharing. I'm sharing a very different way, but nonetheless is about impact and about contribution. And it's about our experience of that work along the way. And so some of that is even making people problem aware that the way they're handling time is sending them sideways. They don't even realize. And that can be a pretty lonely job when you're doing that week over week and you're not necessarily getting the results you want. And so, you know, for my wife is my business partner, for both of us, there is a ardent commitment to put in the work, to make connections with people, to help them become problem aware of how their current relationship time is hurting them. And sometimes you walk in that direction for quite a long time before you see results. And you definitely see results. You know, we've had a great year this last year, but there's definitely been moments of, man, are we headed in the right direction? Is this the right problem to solve?
Right.
And then, you know, you'll jump in a cohort and someone will share how they've revolutionized their relationship with time. They're getting more done than they ever have with less stress, and they're more present to their family. And it's just, you know, it's sugar in my veins. Like, I'm so pumped. You know, I just love hearing those stories. I live for that.
That's great. You know, hearing things that motivate you is a theme here on the Business Talk Show. I'm wondering, any piece of business advice you've ever been given that you would like to pay it forward and share with our audience?
Absolutely. One of my mentors, former CEO, is named Philip Paul. He taught me that reality is our friend. And the big idea there is we just have to speak honestly about where we are. We gotta have clear scoreboards that tell us if we're moving in the right direction or not. We've got to know if we're actually solving the problem or not for our customers or for whoever we care about solving the problem for. And we just have to speak honestly about that. And it's really easy to lie to ourselves. It's really easy to self-deceive. It's really easy just to do the things that we want. And so I think if we have a grasp of reality, and truly it's our friend, then we can start making the course corrections necessary to move in the right direction. I don't want to have a bunch of likes on LinkedIn or a bunch of shares. I want to solve people's problems related to time. I've got to have my scoreboard right and live in reality with whatever that scoreboard is telling me. So that would be my strong share. And a shout out to Philip Paul for having such a massive impact on my life along the way.
When you first said what he said without the context, I'm like, what's that supposed to mean? But as you took me through it, I really can see that. I spent a lot of my career in large companies, and you can spend a lot of time not dealing with the real problem in large companies, and people are perfectly fine being busy doing nothing, feeling like they're making progress.
And I think it comes down to that idea of contribution for me, Rick. You just have to decide what you want in the world. And Time Boss is for people that want to contribute. They want to be about something. They want to be in the game. It's not a self-care program. It will reduce your stress, fear, and anxiety related to work, but it is not a self-care program. It's about being in the game, finding your highest sustainable pace. How can you be in the game as long as possible and make as much impact as possible for a thing that you actually care about? And that's when reality is your friend becomes very natural in that environment, because you actually want to make that impact.
Right. So you mentioned artificial intelligence before. I'd like to bring it back just to ask, what's the potential impact on your business model? What do you see? How is that going to change the business?
Oh man. I mean, AI is coming for all of us, right? It's every month. It's revolutionary how quickly it's changing. So, you know, the reality is right now you could go get a GPT to be a coach for you. You know, if you have challenges in relationship with time, you could find a GPT that probably has a perspective similar to mine. You could relate to it. There are platforms out there like Motion that'll manage your calendar for you. Load up your priorities, load up how much time you think it'll take, and it'll just map those priorities to your calendar. I do think from personal conversation and from my own experience of it, that there is always going to be a challenge of agency. I think humans like being involved, and there's a component where we also love being told what to do. You know, a Google map guides me to wherever I need to go, and I don't argue with Google Maps, but my calendar is a little bit different than that. I have more of a personal relationship with my calendar in that respect. So I'm curious to see how that'll play out in particular. You know, that's obviously how I'm trying to help people, is make them a boss of their time. And, you know, AI might come along and say, you know what, I can be a better boss than you can. And that's a reality that we may have to navigate. But that said, in the meantime, AI is the greatest partner I can have in the creative process. You know, it feels like an intellectual sparring partner when I work with AI. I'll start a project with it and say, hey, I'm focused on this. This is the goal I'm trying to achieve. How can you help me? And ChatGPT is brilliant at coming back and say, hey, I can help you brainstorm. I can build a project plan. Do you need a budget? Do you have to speak about this? I can give you an outline for what you're going to speak about. You know, there's so many ways that we can leverage it in the same way that we might leverage a really, really talented intern to say, right, hey, I need to get this work done, or I need to do some research on this. Could you help me get that done? They're bringing you back a deliverable. You are the curator and editor of that content. And it's still up to you to decide how it's used and how it's leveraged and when you apply that tool, but someone else did the work for you. I think AI is the same. It's a brilliant intern that doesn't always have the best context and can definitely bring some wacky answers, but for the most part can do some really, really powerful creative work on your behalf.
That's a powerful takeaway, to consider it as a really talented intern and then, you know, realize that it is not all knowing, and doesn't have all the answers, and it may occasionally get off the rails. So that's fantastic. Right. Thank you, Andrew. Yeah. All right, let's vision the future. Talk to me about your vision for the future for your firm.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the big vision would be that TimeBoss and the principles that I'm teaching related to time are just the common knowledge of time. You think about what James Clear did with habits. You know, we've all had habits for decades, eons, we've had habits. And then James Clear came along and he made it so simple and so easily relatable that it became the common knowledge of habits. This is how you do a habit. You just get a rep. You start as small as you can. It's about habits over goals. You know, he has these common ideas that are becoming common knowledge and habits. And I would love the same for time. I think what I've stumbled upon is not anything that I created. I mean, truly, it was after 15 years of experiment after experiment, 700 plus weekly planning meetings I've ran to land in the spot. But time is relatively simple. You know, tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., we all have something that we have to do from 8 to 9 a.m. And the more present we can be to that, and if we can be thoughtful about what we choose to do during that time, we can get leverage on our future selves. That is common for everybody, for me, for you, for Elon Musk, it doesn't matter. We all order our steps in that fashion. And so I would love to develop the common knowledge there via these coaching groups or who knows what. It's a problem to solve. And when you're a solution provider, you have to be open to solving that problem in different ways. So I want to be creative to that end over the next years and decades.
We just came back from a retreat where we took our community and we spent 2 days studying Atomic Habits. So what a great reference. And you're right. The ideas are straightforward. It's the implementation, the behavior change required to adopt the system that can be the challenge. And we found, as he wrote in the book too, having an accountability partner can really help to turbocharge that, which is you're seeing in your cohorts as well.
Yep.
This has been great. Okay, so someone's going to want to learn more, Andrew. How do they find you online? Where do they go to learn more about TimeBoss?
Yeah, absolutely. So TimeBoss.us is our website. We've got a free 90-minute masterclass that literally is start to finish the entire model so people can have it because, again, like you said, implementation is everything. Content is easy. LinkedIn is a great way to get connected. Search for Andrew Hartman on LinkedIn. Search for TimeBoss on LinkedIn. We're doing, you know, follow James Clear idea. Our LinkedIn content is really 1% course corrections you can make every day to start moving your time habits in a good direction. So it's a great place to get connected there.
Well, I've enjoyed this. I thank you for your time sharing what you're working on. I think it's fantastic.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rick. Great to chat with you.
And thank you to the audience. You're a part of Orange County's longest running business talk show. Andrew's show will now go into our archives of over 1,400 episodes that we've done over the years of doing the show. If you happen to be an Orange County entrepreneur or a leader of a nonprofit, and you'd like to share your story with us here on Critical Mass Business Talk Show, then reach out to me. I'm Rick, R-I-C, Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I on LinkedIn. Coincidentally, that's our company's website as well, rickfranzi.com. And between Haley, our producer, and me, we can get you scheduled and prepared to be a future guest on the program. We'd love to have you on the show. And until the next time we all have a chance to be together, I hope that all of your business decisions will move your company in a positive direction.